How's it going, everyone? You're listening to Free Kick, the official AFLW fantasy podcast, and we've got the whole crew together as we talk about round four and preview round five. Yes, because I'm back from my well-timed holiday, as always, at the start of the AFLW season, but here to chat fantasy some more. How's it going, everyone, specifically Liam?
I'm very good. It's good to have the full crew back on deck. We had a couple of questions on the on-air recording on YouTube asking, what's happened to Mel? Where's Mel gone? And so, yeah, you're now bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, ready to, you know, dissect what was a good week for some and a, you know, okay week for others.
Yeah, and good question, Mel. Where have you been? I feel like it's been a while. You got to give the listeners some context here.
Yeah, I thought I'd escape to far north Queensland, enjoy some rainforest time and some no cell reception time. I did manage to watch a little bit of the Freo game last weekend from the Daintree, which was good. But other than that, I have been paying almost no attention. So I'm ready to ask questions and learn from you guys. But yeah, nice holiday. And my rank didn't go down that much. So that's a success to me, you know, when you stop paying attention.
Historically on this podcast, when you go from stopping paying attention to actually paying attention, you rise in the rankings around about 4,000 places. So this is a good sign.
I'm going to be off the charts this year. What about you guys? Get into any games last weekend?
I certainly did. I went to the Bulldogs-Sydney game, which was wonderful, very enjoyable. I do enjoy watching AFLW action at Witten Oval. I was there supporting the Swans, and they didn't get the win, but it was great to see the Swans girls nonetheless. And then I was choosing between going to the Geelong-Essendon game or the Colin Carlton game and ended up going to neither, so I just watched them both. And one result was really good, depending on who you talk to, Liam. And the other one was not so good because Collingwood are not going so great at the moment. But I'm happy with how Geelong's going.
Hey, I was happy with the Bombers for the first 45 minutes. We looked all right. We were up. We just decided to let Aisling Maloney just play around by herself. And then that lead disappeared. And you say Collingwood were bad. I think they showed some signs. Ruby Slicer, I'm glad she's had a performance to justify why I thought she looked so good in the preseason, because that was a pretty spectacular effort.
Didn't have many friends, though.
Had almost none, actually. But he's now kicked 3 goal of the year contenders in the first month, which is stupid.
And had kicked their entire score up until very late in the last quarter. But we seem to have a very, very quiet Jono going on here. What's going on with Hawthorn?
Oh, we were very disappointing. That was a big loss to a team that has not really shown too much this year. So, you know, kudos to Adelaide. I think they played a very good game. But yeah, the contest work to the Hawks was very, very poor. And I'm pretty worried coming into the Bulldogs this week, who are kind of on fire to start this season.
Yeah. The ladder's all over the place and not what I would have expected coming in after a few weeks. I was not expecting St Kilda to be so far down the bottom. I was expecting Hawthorn to be higher. So it's always fun zoning out for a bit, coming back in. But the stats and the ranks that really matter. Let's get into the shipping report for this week. I'm not sure what order you guys have been doing for the last few. So let's start off with whoever came the highest, which is specifically Liam.
It's very clear that you've not been listening, because we have definitely been doing last first.
I was trying to delay the shipping report for as long as possible with that intro, and now I get to wait a little longer.
Look, I did pretty well. I had a score of 1943, which is a weekly rank of 88.
Enormous.
And moved me from outs, you know, high in the 2000s up to 758th in the rankings. I think I gained something like 62 or 63 points on 100th, which, if you were listening last week, I kind of was talking about how, like, oh, I'm just a week behind where I was last year. I kind of had a bad start and then I started to gain pretty rapidly. I made up 64 points on 100th in round three last year. So I am just a week behind what happened. So I'm just going to keep the momentum going forward and hopefully be able to climb the ranks again. My good call, holding on to Lucy Cronin for two injury-affected weeks to then have her spend about 50% of her time in the midfield, 50% of her time on the wing, lapping up some cheap possession on a day where it was certainly a struggle for a lot of Collingwood's quality of ball movement, but I was very happy at the end of the day with what Cronin managed, even if I was a little bit concerned by, again, the potential appearance of a shoulder injury and some dreadful-looking ball movement for a lot of the first half by the Pies.
And also spent some time up forward, which I just did not understand. But thankfully, it didn't hurt her scoring. But that's not something I'd like to see going forward, if I'm completely honest, from both a fantasy and a Collingwood perspective.
To me, that felt like drifting down from the wing more than it ever did. Like she was lining up too much off half forward. Still had the 50% CBA, so I was very happy with that. My bad call was believing in Fremantle. I structured my trades around bringing in Kiara Bowers, and as much as Fremantle comfortably beat Richmond, neither of Gabby Newton or Kiara Bowers could turn that dominance into fantasy points. I think it was 5 or 6 freeze agains for Bowers, which, given her propensity to have those happen on tackles, that's a lot of points missed. So I was certainly less than impressed. And the blind side, I've written down bow and arrow to a gunfight. We need to start putting Michaela Bowen in the captain's run. The captain's call has now put together an elite score against Essendon in the 140s. Same can be said for Nina Morrison, but Nina Morrison's very lowly owned, below 3% at time of recording. Bowen is now at the point where she can be considered in these easier matchups, particularly with McDonald out and Bowen being a full-time inside midfielder. The run, the carry, the tackling, it's an elite role, and she's turning into an elite captaincy type scorer.
Yeah, and third highest owned player. So with those scores, and I mean, that would be very exciting to see how many people put the C on her next week if she can bring it back. Huge score, 146. I'd be keen to see at the end of the season, Jono, if you do your same kind of metrics, where that falls in terms of top scores across the season, because that's a big one.
It is one, yeah.
Does that mean you're up next as well? How'd you go this
week? It would, yes. I had a 1,857 to be the second top scorer on the podcast this week, which moved me up 104 spots to 453rd overall. Very excited to hear that Liam is 1 week behind, given that he only pipped me in the very final round of last year. So fingers crossed that means that I can hold my spot above him for the rest of the season. We'll see. I would say my good call was bringing in Charlie Mullins. And I think it was a fairly obvious good call, but, you know, I've really struggled with my trades this year. I don't think I've made many good decisions. So it's nice to actually have one that's gone pretty well. Bad call, I think, goes all the way back to the start of the year, believing that Port Adelaide would stick with the new structure and not just go back to what they were doing and the low disposal game, because having both Woodland and Dowrick in the team this week was really costly.
I struggled watching Ash Woodland in that game. Port Adelaide did not look capable of transitioning the ball very well, and I think it shows in both Woodland and Dowrick no longer looking for that mark in the center square in transition. They're both like, they might flash for it every now and then, but it just doesn't get kicked to them. And so they've just given up.
Yeah, right? They used to be waving their arms around because they're now in the midfield. They're standing open in the center square, but no one looks for them at all. It's so frustrating as an owner. So I think that's probably going to give a lot of pause for thought on what my trades are going to be this week. The blind side for me was Izzy Bacon putting up the second highest score for any defender this round. I've been going back going, well, we knew that Izzy Bacon moved into the midfield last week. Should we have seen this coming? But in the second half last week, she put up a 17 in the third quarter, a 2 in the final quarter. I just didn't see her being this high scoring a midfielder, particularly in a game where Bowers didn't even put up a 90.
Yeah, and I think the laid out of Moncon, I mean, it wasn't terribly late. We did have a bit of advance wording, but that certainly helped. But yeah, I would have thought maybe, oh yeah, you could probably scrape a 60, maybe a 70 if you're lucky. But yeah, looked really, really good.
Yeah, Absolutely. So a big consideration this week for the trade-ins, particularly with the news about Mon Conti and her Achilles, a TBC on the injury list.
Yeah. I'm kind of, for fantasy-wise, if she doesn't come back, that makes Izzy Bacon a very attractive opportunity, for sure. Excitingly, I think I might be next. Woohoo! So 18-32 was my score, which means my overall rank is by far the lowest, but that's okay. 2,417. Someone's got to be the everyday man or whatever it is. You know, someone's got to be
the every
keeping
man.
It real.
The everyman.
Everyman. Everyman every day. That's me. So that's 600 ranks points up since I went on holiday. So that's, I'm happy with that. Never mind last week, whatever. It's before I left and after I came back. So up 600 points. That's pretty good for me. Good call was holding Roberts, I guess, the whole time. I think she really delivered last week, which I'm pretty happy with, holding her after a few kind of questionable scores throughout. But my bad call is that my on-field trades, just I've not been nailing these, and I fell back slightly further again last week, was finally ready to get rid of Grigg, and excited that Chloe Shear's been looking good, playing some solid game time and getting some decent points. But that only netted me 7. And then getting a bit fed up with this year, thinking it's time to move away from Richmond, who put up a 64. And instead I brought in B. Smith from Fremantle, who lost me 11 points on that trade. So netting down again. But we're going to pick it up this week. And blindside, I guess, is just more generally the ladder. And particularly St Kilda. I was really not expecting to see that. Not really sure what that translates into fantasy potential, but we'll see what comes from it. Results may vary. Was next.
Oh, no.
Liam again.
Oh, no. Willow, this will be quick. 1793, overall rank at 4114. Nothing special. Georgie Presparkis getting a tag wasn't great. I think it's also a team that has Abby Dowrick in it. It wasn't really a team that dominated. And so, yeah, certainly suffered. It didn't have the opportunity to trade in Charlie Mullins because there were defenders to trade in from the red dot debacle from the week prior. So, look, wasn't a great week, but, you know, we'll improve. We'll overcome.
And then Willow.
Yeah, look, a 1775 was not what I wanted this week. It's a weekly rank of 3,624, which, like, all things considered, isn't horrible. But it's cost me 465 places in the rankings, and I'm now 1,530th. I think we've talked a bit about Liam's history from last year. I'm pretty sure this may have been the stage where the sailboats passed in the night last year as well. So good to see we're consistent, if nothing else. My good call, very similar to Jono, was bring in Charlie Mullins. Overall, I was actually okay with my trades this week. My bad call was basically everything that has happened over the past 4 weeks that led to this moment, because all of my highly owned players, a lot of my highly owned players did badly, and a lot of my unique players did badly, which kind of hurt. I didn't have a lot of the highly owned players that did well, or any unique players that did well, so... Yeah, things like trading out Tia Charlton, trading out Ella Roberts, even as you said, Mel, Amelia Yassir, like I would have still made the Chloe Shear trade regardless, but it's lost me 20 points there. All of those things all came back and coalesced into one terrible score this week, which was fabulous. My blind side was Port Adelaide as well, similar to what Jono said. I'm a little flummoxed as to why they've gone from something that was working pretty well to something that just has got them losing to Gold Coast. Yeah, kind of wild. And I also have Abby Dowrick, and the way my team went this week, I may actually end up just holding her because I've got other issues. That's how dire my week was. And I'm basically potentially just doing that to avoid doing a Liam of many seasons ago, hoping that Abby Dowrick has a massive pop score this week and then trading her out. The chance of that against Melbourne, probably unlikely, but scored 114 against Melbourne previously, so who knows? But regardless, I have a few issues to sort out.
Melbourne are a great team for points scored against. Melbourne score more, but Ella Roberts just put up a massive one. The ball pings around, so...
That is true, honestly, but if Port Adelaide are going the way they're going, it might not matter. But hope it's not the worst week to be holding is kind of the way I'm looking at it. I've got other issues that I'm probably going to try and sort out first. So yeah, not the best week, but 1500 is still workable. I just need to basically do what Liam did and have two massive weeks in a row to rise 4,000 places to get myself into what, negative 2,000 something. But it's not out of the question, and that's what Liam has proven in the last 2 weeks, is that you can go really, really well and raise your ranks. So it should give all of our listeners hope as well that you can improve very quickly.
Speaking of getting hope, we got a question come through. How do all non-Liam co-hosts manage to get through the week when Liam goes well? Any specific coping mechanisms? Does anyone have any advice to share?
I'm specifically going on holiday this week, so I won't be there next week. So total avoidance is probably going to be my strategy this week. But no, I'm actually thrilled for Liam, to be honest. I'm really, really, really glad that one of us is doing really, really well. Two, if you include John, of course.
Yeah.
I just want to give Liam the shout out, because I was doing the shipping report and I was like, damn, the two consecutive weeks of nearly 2,000 ranks placed is super impressive. I'm like, Jono, you just already were there at the top. I don't care about that. You're just slow and consistent, whatever. Liam's coming home with a wet sail and it's only round four. So I'm really intrigued just to see how this roller coaster can go.
Braddles, still a long way home.
Braddles, I want to thank you for that question, because it was Braddles Fantasy from Twitter. I want to thank you for that question for proving the point of, Jono, your team name next year needs to be Slow and Consistent. We now have that on the record.
Jono's going to be Slow and Consistent, and Mel's going to be the Everyday Man. So we're in jokes abound here.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, love it. I mean, doubling down on what you said there, Willow, going away and just not being here is a really good way to deal with bad fantasy scores. So would recommend.
It improved you, Jono, it improved you 6,000 points. So if anything, I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, I just want to...
600, not 6,000.
I just want to confirm for the record, Willa, I remember it was a few years ago now, but when Liam won their first AFLW hat, wasn't that around the same time that you picked up boxing for a little bit? I just want to know if those two things were related. I just want to know.
I'm not going to confirm nor deny. I don't do any boxing anymore, and Liam has continued to do well. So I don't think they're correlated.
At the very least, you're improving how you're processing things. I'm really glad for you. I think that's exactly really a good improvement.
I go to therapy now.
Yeah.
So good. Look, again, not been here. Who's doing the watch and wait scoreboard? Is it the person who ranks the lowest, and therefore is it Willow?
Yep, the prophecy has been fulfilled for the second week in a row.
Motivation.
We said it last week that regular programming had been restored, and it was a self-fulfilling prophecy. I think this is going to become a regular segment now, and I'm looking forward to it because I enjoy the Watch and Wait scoreboard because it is named after something I have constantly said. So, top coach this week, Joel does Fantasy W. Well done, Joel B. A six. I'm all over the place today. They scored a 1966, there were lots of sixes there, in round four, which is a enormous score. Well done, just ahead of Liam. Ended up with a total score of 7,660, which is also more sixes. Well done. The top weekly score, though, is Claudia's Been Amazing by Troy W. I'm hoping that's to do with Claudia Whitford, because Claudia has been amazing. But they scored a 2,035 in round four, and the only team to break 2,000. So incredible, incredible work. Moves them up to 33rd spot overall. So well done there, Troy. So if you're looking to keep in touch with that top 100 overall, you needed a round score of 1879. So another big score, about 100 points more than I got. So well done to everyone that kept on pace there. It is down from last round, which was a 1946, but still very, very high. Some high-scoring rounds, though, it must be said. And our 100th ranked team is Jaden's team, Low Scoring Affair, who scored an 1885 this week to bring them to 7,479 points overall. So that is your 100 par mark. I know a lot about Low Scoring Affairs because I've been doing it for the last 2 weeks. Now... The free kick league update. The lucky last by Craig M, who was sitting first a few weeks ago, I believe, is still first in the free kick league, though has slipped to third place overall. And we have 34 coaches in the top 100 in our league, which is fantastic. Up from 27 last week, which is impressive. So we've gained 7 coaches there. So we're starting to take on more of the top coaches. So well done, listeners. You are doing fantastic. Much better than me.
Yeah, I think we might have got up to like 40% or so by the end of last season. So if you're a listener and you're not in our league, please do join. We do love to see that number growing. Makes us feel good. So please join. Then, for the hot topics we got this week, lots of things to discuss. Upgrade season, the players we might want to be moving on, and the spice rankings, which I think this is the second season we've done the spice rankings. Lots of fun. Looking forward to that one. But, Liam, do you want to kick us off with some upgrade season analysis?
Yes. So this is building on what we talked about last week, which is, the first question was, are we in upgrade season? And the answer was yes. Now we're delving a little bit more into what are the priorities this upgrade season? Because I think it's about staggering our and timing our upgrades in forward, defense, and in the midfield. Because I think we saw this past week that, you know, I prioritized going, all right, I'm Claudia Whitford, you're done. Time for you to go. Like, I don't think you're going to hit a premium. You've got to go to Kiara Bowers now. Didn't pay off this past week. I thought I was targeting a matchup. And we saw some massive scores from the midfielders in the $900 to $1.1 million range. So Tyler Hanks was one that we haven't mentioned at all. Nina Morrison is another. Charlie Rowbottom scored solidly. My question is kind of more generally, if we're going to prioritise upgrades across all three lines, is there a specific order? Because at the moment, I feel like it's trying to pick off a midfielder plus probably a forward this week, maybe a defender next week. But I suspect that there will be a differing of opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I still think we're early enough in the season that we need to be targeting value. And that's sort of the tricky thing with the midfield is that it seems very hard to identify targets in the midfield that are obvious value. So when you're looking at the defensive line or the forward line, I think we had options like Charlie Mullins and Tia Charlton we talked about last week. Serene Watson as well in defense, who is clearly still quite cheap. And then we'll have more options we'll get to later. But I think those are really easy targets. In the midfield, it's very hard because you want to go up to these premium players, but they kind of have to keep scoring these 110, 120 scores just to maintain their value, let alone go up. So I think the real challenge is going to be making sure that if you're getting someone in this 900K to 1.1 million, you know, midfield range, is just making sure they hit.
Yeah, and that you're going to leave them like they're a player for the rest of your season, right? Like you're not getting them for value, you're getting them for the points. So you want to be pretty confident in their point scoring.
The other difficulty from the past couple of weeks is we look at the difference in scoring between Jordy Allen, who I have on field as M8, versus what I got from Woodland this week. That's a difference of whatever, 25 points. Probably not what I was expecting at the beginning of the week, given the relative ease of the match. And I think that was the other thing to probably bring up. I held Woodland over Whitford because I had a feeling that with the concerns I have about Whitford's time on ground combined with the upcoming North Melbourne matchup versus Woodland, who I see is probably needing to be traded out. She'd had put up a couple of 70s in a row, but wet Gold Coast matchup this week. Okay, I'll hold Woodland for the week and then maybe she can stay for another couple of weeks. So it's not a perfect science at this stage. So the big question for me this week is, is it Woodland? Am I happy to trade out Woodland and hold on to Jordy Allen, given that one of them has put together a near ton and then 270s in the last 3 weeks, rocketed up in cash, but the break even is now at 72. And I don't think that I'm leaning towards holding Allen, but I'm certainly not sitting here like super confident in the strategy.
I think you want to hold Allen, is what I've gauged from your little pitch just then. You want to hold Allen and you want some confirmation that it's okay. Liam, it's okay to hold Allen. You can do it.
But it doesn't fuel me with confidence, does it? Yeah, he's a first-year player.
It'll be okay.
Yeah. I should tell you, Liam, I've been considering this exact question today because originally my trades were to move on both of the Port Adelaide players. I was done. I was sick of it. That was my, you know, as soon as lockout lifted trade. But as the day has gone on, I was just kind of looking at, well, what if I got rid of Chloe Bowne from my field? What if I took Zoe Wackfer off my field? And I got to say, the team looks a lot better because I can trust that even if Woodland and Derek have a bad game for them is a 50, whilst a bad game for Zoe Wackfer is going to be in the 20s. So I really think, you know, the break-even game is something that I'm definitely looking at. So, you know, looking at which rookies that I trade out, Chloe Bowne might be at the top of that list for me just because it's starting to get into the 60s, that break even. That might be a priority, even though they're on field. But in terms of making sure I keep points on field for such a short season, I think I'm currently in the rookies off before I start making, you know, the mid 700 to 800 crowd before I move them up to the next level.
I mean, not that it counts for much because I'm not doing very well, but I'm still in the break-even management kind of get a little bit more value from my players mindset rather than the, like, inching up on the upgrades, ready to start getting rid of some rookies, but not picking my, like, my final midfielders right now. I think I need a little bit longer, you know, as the everyday man, not a huge amount of cash gen here. So still inching closer rather than, like, in, like, finalizing the midfield type mindset for me. What about you, Willow?
Yeah, I've been pondering my trades for the entire day and I honestly still have no idea because I basically, in order to get the money to do the upgrades I need four trades this week because we just don't have enough money sitting on a lot of these rookies to do big upgrades or at least more than one upgrade because like Jono, I'm like, I need to get Zoe Wackfer off and it's a perfect time to pick Serene Watson. We think Serene Watson's going to start shooting back up in value, very low break even this week, and we know how good a player Serene Watson is. So for me, you know, doing that trade is probably a priority this week, but then I've got Claudia Whitford and Chloe Bowne on the field, as we said. So it's kind of a difficult one to pick which of these players is probably the biggest priority because all of them are starting to look a bit iffy.
Okay, so lots of deliberation and no confidence the trade structure for this week.
I would say if I could give one piece of advice that's relatively consistent amongst all of us is that Jono saying that, yeah, there's going to be some value options, particularly in the forward line and defence. I think it's a case of pick off one of those from your underperformers. It could be a rookie. And then look to try and also upgrade in your midfield where you can. If you're not getting to someone that's holdable for 3 weeks, a month in the midfield, don't do it. Then look to bank cash, see if you can make a double upgrade next week.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think one of the options that I was considering is even if I was to move on some of these Port players, I may not have the cash to get a player that I really want to keep in my midfield. And this is why I was actually looking at using the DPP and maybe moving to, you know, a forward and use that DPP to bring, one of the mid forwards into my midfield. And that way I'm still targeting a player I'm going to keep all season. And maybe later on I move a Lauren Young up to a midfielder. And that way I'm sort of keeping the longevity in mind, even if for a couple of weeks I have a forward in my midfield.
I think that's a great strategy, Jono. That's the most exciting thing I've heard out of this chat so far, I think. That gives me hope. Yep, I like it. Well, that puts us nicely into our second hot topic, which is it time to move them on? Some of the highly owned players, at least 10% ownership, that we might be needing to trade out. Let's just start in the midfield then. Jordan Allen. I mean, maybe not. We don't need to trade him out. But
yeah, I can start with Allen. I feel like the break even now is at 72 and the price 726K is incredible. And you can go sideways from Allen to a lot of very, very good players. I don't think it's a priority because what Allen has been doing has been remarkably consistent. And the return of Maeve Chaplin, which is something we were really worried about, has not seemed to dry up her scoring that much at all. So I think Allen even got coaches' votes this week. So they're clearly loving what she's doing. They want to keep the ball in her hands. I would say of all the midfield rookies with a high break even, probably the lowest priority. But this is the time that she's going to stop making the incredible, you know, 100K every week that she's been doing lately. That's going to drop off. So at this stage, I wouldn't be concerned about trading her out if you wanted to. But yeah, I mean, running her at M8, I don't think is going to be a problem for the next few weeks. Chloe Bowne and Ava Usher are probably two players that I think are much higher priorities to move on if you can.
Yeah, I mean, I've got both, and it's Usher out for me this week just because her break even is almost like 8 or so points higher than her average. Bowne is at least matching, but they're very much in that category of they've made a good amount of money. They're over 500K, probably time to downgrade to a very cheap rookie and use that for upgrades. And then a little bit lower, I guess, in the same category, but not as extreme. Two other Gold Coast rookies in Sunny Lappin and Lily Quigley. Also, I think like they're probably a little bit less urgent, but I think it's definitely Chloe Bowne, Ava Usher time to go.
Yeah, I feel like the problem with Lappin and Quigley is that we know that they have higher ceilings. Like we've seen that in games before. They're just not putting it up. So I feel like with the low cash that's on their head, it's best to just sort of wait for them to have the pop score. I think we saw something similar from Molly O'Hare this week where it was, you know, I thought her cash was done and then she's thrown up a 64 to sort of reignite what she can do over the next couple of weeks.
Yep. And then on the other side of things, Laura Gardner with 126 break even compared to her average of, one moment please, a lot less than that, I'm guessing, average of 96. Oof. Do any of you guys have her? I think she's still relatively highly owned. Almost 50%.
I don't have her.
Yeah, neither. The role is not looking promising, though. That is a half-forward role,
no.
Which is highly alarming for someone that, to start the season, was, what, 1.38 million?
Yeah, highest price of everyone.
Lost a lot.
The role was a little bit better on the weekend. Had some fewer bench stints, had higher CBAs, but it's not a well-settled team at the moment. And the Western Bulldogs are a tougher matchup. Like, no team averages fewer total points scored between themselves and their opposition than the Western Bulldogs. They play a lot of football that means that the ball just gets slapped on. Like, it's not a high-tackle game. It's just a bit messy. It's quite defensive, but it's not high-scoring defensive football. So if you are trying to find a way to explain away the score, it was always going to be a tough matchup. I think what we're kind of seeing now is the issue for Gardner and Sydney more generally is how do you integrate all the midfielders they want in when you consider that Tanya Kennedy came back this past weekend. So it's Kennedy, McAvoy, Gardner, Ham, Hurley.
Yeah. Yeah, and honestly, I think part of the issues that they were having across the last few weeks is their delivery inside 50, and Gardner's probably not the one to fix that. I think Hurley is probably their best kick and is going to be carrying on with that midfield time. The way that I'm looking at Gardner is that if you have her already, I don't, like, she's lost so much cash that I don't think the cash loss is going to hurt you too much more going forward. I would just keep holding. But for everyone else who's waiting for the moment, do we trade in Gardner? I just don't think it's yet. I think we're waiting until that settles and we have some confirmation of what actually that rotation is going to be.
So it's GWS game this week, which is going to be a good matchup for her, I suspect. But there's always the looming specter of Grace Kosh. Again, a totally insane sentence if you'd mentioned it 2 months ago. But then it's Port Adelaide, Brisbane, North Melbourne. So that's the next month. Now, the final month of the season is better run-wise. It's going to be a tough one to navigate. You would almost hope, if you're a non-owner, that she has a good game this week so that you can jump on at a bottom price and maybe justify it with 2 good weeks' worth of scoring. Laura Gardner's had no issues scoring against Brisbane previously. But it's the looming spectre. It's North Melbourne as the next looming spectre, if that's going to be my phrase of the day. Having had a look as well, what we're seeing from Gardner this year is kind of what we'd seen the season prior, which is a low to mid 100 scorer without the uber ceiling. And it was really last year under a coach that's no longer there and without Sophia Hurley that she was the 140, 150, 160 type player. She will be value. She's going to continue to drop in price, I suspect. I have a degree of confidence she'll be on our side at some point, but I'm not trading her in now. But if you already hold, I don't think you want to trade out because all it's going to take is a 130, 140, which we know she can do, even in a crowded midfield, and everyone's going to want to trade her back in. If you trade her out now, then you've just cost yourself two trades.
Yep. Agree. Well, shall we move over to the defenders? Yes, Wakfa is not currently in my trade plans, so she's still on my field, which I'm not loving. But we'll see. We'll see if I can't be convinced to yeet her this week.
I was just going to say, I've got Zoe Wakfa as my trade out to get to Serene Watson this week because I have been fielding three of the rookies that are all very highly owned and that we'll talk about, which is Evie Catcher from Geelong and Molly O'Hare as well, who put up a solid 60. And Zoe Wakfu was the one that I figured to go out on the basis that I, as Jono has mentioned, she's the one that's most likely to just score a 20.
You've been fielding all three of those?
No, I've been fielding two of the three, but I've been fielding all three of them in the sense that I've had to choose of those three.
Nice.
Brisbane coming up too this week.
Yeah.
Don't love that matchup for Long Wakfa.
A lot of repeat forward entries for Brisbane. I don't mind it, to be honest. I'm still trading, but there are worse ones in my mind.
I don't.
I'm
like
also
it at
doing
all.
That trade because, at the moment, it's the only way I can make my left field trade plan work. But yeah, I don't love the matchup, but I also don't love all of the, all of them. So
yeah.
all of the options aren't fantastic.
I would say the probably the biggest priority of all the rookies to trade out in my mind is Violet Patterson, because with the 3-week rolling lockout, I think she loses the 100 from her average. So the break even is very, very high. It's a break even of 68 this week. So I think that would be a priority to move on if you held her through her 1-week suspension.
Yes, Violet Patterson, highest break even of the players we've been discussing here as well, 68. So definitely the priority trade out if you still have her. My question for you guys is, do you have decent enough rookies on your bench that you might consider swapping them on field, or is your defender bench also crap like mine is? How are you feeling about your defender bench? Because that's my point of weakness, I think, in my team.
I think one of the things I've really struggled with this year is that, with the exception of early season Chloe Bowne and Geordie Allen, we've really struggled for consistent on-field rookies. We don't have a zippy fish this year where you can kind of just leave them and it's okay. And I've been really struggling to figure out, because I've been tossing up going, oh, Chloe Bowne, a really good moneymaker this week, but it would mean that I'd have to probably play someone like a Emma Janaeja on the field, a Juliet Kelly or a Lily Quigley. I don't feel good about any of those options. So, yeah, I'm struggling to really figure out what the way to go with those rookies is if you do need to play them on field.
I think at this point, there is almost no one that will debut from here on in that will be startable. And I think if you are still running an Evie Coucher, the potential injury to Claudia Gunjaka may free up some points that she's able to take on. She's probably been a passable enough scorer. Let's call it a 50 average in the first month.
At least consistent.
I think that's survivable.
Yeah.
In defence, it's 20 points below a premium, whereas in the midfield, a Janaeja who scores nothing spectacular on the weekend is 60 points below a premium or what you would want from your premium. So I think Couch is probably one of the few true rookies that you could still be running.
I think Janeja was within 10 points of three of my midfield premiums this week. I might be getting a little confused here.
Yeah, only scored 14 points less than Darek, so.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah, okay. Good confirmation. It's not just me then.
Just one more defender to throw in there. Chantal Emmonson, I think with the scores across the last 2 weeks and rounding into form, I think she can be held for the time being. It's really been one bad game. A couple of slow quarters in both the North and the St Kilda games that have hampered her. I think that I suspect that from here on she'll be low 60s, so probably has another fortnight to plot away at D5 or D6, depending on how your team's structured, and then she can be moved on.
You'll be happy to know she's currently in D4 for me because my team's not in any order.
Oh God.
Straight to D1.
Exactly. D1's still very I traded around and then I brought her back in. I wonder why I'm coming 3,000. Anyway, sorry. Not about me. Let's go to the rucks. Oh golly. Mimstrom. That injury, do we know if it's going to last?
Shoulder injury.
Didn't quite follow
didn't
that one
look
up.
Great.
Yeah.
Hasn't been a whole lot out of it, but I would expect that she's probably going to miss probably a week. Could be longer if it's a serious one, but we will need to wait on that one. But playing with a shoulder injury, even if it is just a stinger, not ideal. And I think the rucks is, it's a difficult one because if you didn't start with Wales or Schultz, it's a fair bit of money to make that jump.
Yeah. Definitely shoulder injury and ruck, not a good combo. So thank you for that update, Dr. Free Kick.
I just don't think you can justify really going anyone that isn't Wales or Schultz either.
Mm. It's certainly tough.
Yeah, I wonder if there's going to be a few forced, very expensive trades coming up for that one then.
There's also one player.
So
yeah,
Morfitt.
That's what I was going to say. One player that's been removed as an option who could have been is Ali Morfitt, who's unfortunately been suspended for a week. We're yet to see that challenge. But a disappointing game with a 51, just at the time that you do need to move them on, unfortunately. Because before that, I think they'd been reasonably solid. A couple 90s in there. Very, very rough for any Ali Morfitt owner out there.
One other one that we always, the most overlooked ruck in the competition, Alice Edmonds. Other than having a arrow 58 in round one, 96, 78, 87. That's not terrible for a ruck priced at low 800s. I think that could potentially be a contender, third highest.
Ooh, Mel, I think we're getting a bit spicy for a non-spice related section.
Sorry. Let me save the spice for later. My apologies.
I think one, if we are going to talk rucks, that if Strom is indeed out and you don't want to go up for that, is possibly Steph Wales, just because they are playing Freo this week. And if Strom isn't playing, you've got Steph Wales playing a Stromless Freo. So you can probably make, 100K there on a week basis. It's a left field play, but it's an option. I'm not saying it's a great option, but it's an option.
Good to have options. Maybe over to the forwards then, where there's a few more options going on. We've got quite a few names here, which are a bit concerning because they are on our fields. I don't love seeing Lauren Young up the top of the trade-out list. That makes me nervous. Who wants to talk through the logic behind that one? Is it just the Port Adelaide of it all? Or?
I think the Port Adelaide of it all is certainly a concern, but also the price point. 623K is pretty well up there, close enough to a lot of the players you would want to be targeting. So I think with a break-even of 67, if we do hold concerns over the Port Adelaide game plan, now is a very good time to be jumping off.
I held concerns about Port Adelaide's game plan last week and the fact that the marks for the midfielders were dropping and Lauren Young had her best score ever. And if I'm being honest, I think that Lauren Young, in terms of trade-out priorities, isn't in my top three in the forward line, let alone across my entire team. So,
wow.
It just doesn't...
It depends on the team,
I hear it on
sure.
the break-even, but yeah. I don't know if I care about the break-even too much.
Yeah, I would definitely have players like Yasir, Skepa, Slocum. I know a lot of teams are running with Olivia Walmarins as well. I think most of those players I would have higher on the get off field list. Even with Yasir scoring pretty well this week. I think we saw a return to the CBA a little bit, and we've got Ellie McKenzie coming back into the team this week for Richmond. So who knows how long that's going to last. That Richmond midfield mix is a real mystery.
Okay. Contrary to that, I actually think that Millsy Yasir had a very definite role shift in the second half last week. Against Fremantle. And it coincided with Richmond's best football because they've been getting smashed. They could not stop a thing in the first half. And Millsy Yasir goes in, I think she had a 40-point fourth quarter and looked really good, and it was Richmond's best quarter.
Yeah.
Moncon's not coming back. Like, yes, McKenzie is coming back. But I think if you are, like me, looking at Millsy Yasir at F6, she could be held.
Well, firstly, I don't disagree with you, but also the week before against Essendon, she left the midfield in the second half, and that's when they were playing their best footy. I wonder if Richmond's just a pretty fit team, and that's their running over teams.
I'd say Millsy Yasir got her only CBAs last week against Essendon in the second half.
Oh, that's not true. That's not true for sure. I'll need to check those numbers. I watched that game. There was absolutely a first half midfield role and a second half forward role.
She still had CBAs in the second half. It was Sierra Greaves who got nothing in the second half and also had almost nothing on the weekend and didn't score very well. And I know she's not been on the run sheet, but yes, you should trade out of Sierra Greaves.
Yes. Yeah. That's
sprinkle that one in there.
For sure.
Jeez, that conversation was getting a little bit spicy there.
Well, I think it's time to go to our spice rankings then. Jono, I feel like this is your baby. Do you want to talk us through?
Well, I would love to take credit for this, but I believe this was Liam's invention last year.
My apologies, Liam. Let me start again. Liam, beautiful idea. Would you like to take us through?
Spicy.
Heaven forbid the man get a little spicy and repackage what is a very basic idea, which is who are the trade targets, and then make it such that it's categorized based on spice level. So we've got mild, but a little bit of lemon and herb action. Medium, which I've called the jalapeno bucket. We've then got hot, which is the Carolina Reaper areas. And then finally, we end with extra hot, the extra spicy, which is the bomb hot sauce for anyone that watches First We Feast over on YouTube. So the idea being that there are going to be some fairly generic trade targets that we all like. As we go along, and we've already talked about some of these players, they're going to start to get a little bit more left field. So hitting up first in the lemon and herb, got Charlie Mullins, 707K, I think is still a great trade-in. Very, very unspicy. Same can be said for Tia Charlton, 710K. Last two scores were 98 and an 80. Super-duper lemon and herby. Serene Watson as well, 662K. Given what she has been as a top six defender for the last 2 years, I'm very comfortable in saying that she is a great trade-in target this week if you have not already brought her in. However, it starts to get a little bit more difficult if you are someone hypothetical who already owns all three of these players and you need to look elsewhere. These are the best trade-in options, and we are now set looking for some new players, maybe a little bit spicier, a little bit less proven, with some bad scores already baked in, and you're betting on some upside. So we're looking at the medium spice, we're looking at the jalapeno.
Oh, what a fantastic position it would be in if you've already got Charlie Mullins, T. Charlton, Serene Watson, and you can now go to some spicier options. What a privileged position that is.
Like I said, completely hypothetical.
Yes, absolutely. Well then, hypothetically, Liam, who are you looking at next in the medium bucket?
I'm a big fan of Maeve Chaplin, 708K, so a little bit more expensive than Serene Watson. So if you haven't got either, I think Serene's the better option. We've seen The time on ground improved the last 2 weeks, started at 56K in her first game back from injury, back up to 76. Her scoring is also matching basically 1 point per percentage time on ground, to the point where I think that once she settles back in at that 80, 85, which is what she was at last year, I see her going back up to that, you know, mid 70 with the pop score of 80 or 90 type of defender. I don't know if it's a screaming urgent priority, given, you know, we don't have quite the same problems in the defense as we did in the forward line last week with multiple scores below 30, where this 600, 700K player is a priority to trade in. She's a little bit spicier than mild because we haven't really seen that amazing score yet, and we haven't really seen the price bottom out, but I still think a very worthwhile trade-in.
Yes, and unfortunately, I don't think I can make her fit in my side, which is devastating, but someone else that you've been a big fan of all season until she got vetoed from the free kick team. Who else have you got down on the medium list? Or is this Jono's addition potentially?
Well, it really depends who you're talking about. But I'm going to take a stab in the dark that you're talking about Ella Roberts here. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, no, that was
No one else that we've got on the run sheet was vetoed from results may vary. So it probably is Ella Roberts.
Yeah. Yes. Ella Roberts, I think now looks like the time to be bringing her in. She obviously had that 53 tagged performance in the opening round, but since then has just gotten better and better. I've been looking at maybe like we did last season, trying to find those people who have just gotten better and better every week. But the list is still a little bit long at the moment. There's been a lot of improvers as the season has gone on. But Ella Roberts' last 2 weeks has gone 104 and 118. So I think definitely on the rise. And very cheap at 959K for what we know she can deliver. It's a tough matchup this week with Brisbane, which the timing is interesting. So that's probably why it's a medium spice at the moment. But yeah, I'm pretty keen on what she can do. We got a question though from Ethan Peacock. Hey team, who's the best 1 to 1.1 million mid that you can get? I think a lot of these players around the 1 million mark are interesting. Mel, you've got one who's just a little bit cheaper than that as well.
Yeah, well, even slightly cheaper again than Ella Roberts. I was thinking Britt Bonici is a really nice sideways trade from an Abby Dowrick. She's only like 50 grand more. Two recent scores of 93 and 107. The only reason I put her in medium and not mild is just because, like, the price point and the range, she's not quite in that, like, uber primo trade up point of your midfield. So it's not potentially an obvious trade, but I think as an option, if you're looking for a sideways from Dowrick, she's probably one of the best. And yeah, we do know that she can get those solid scores and she's got the long history there. One of the other ones though, I mean, not in the midfield anymore. So sorry, Ethan Peacock, not answering your question with this one anymore. But Ash Maloney, who has got her down? Last round score of 90?
I had Ash Maloney down. I think a good bounce back game. I think she's been pretty slow to start the season. I wasn't confident on her fitness, but I think that last round really showed what she can do. Looked as good as she has all season, put up a 90, obviously, and at 622K, fantastically priced, and actually the 1K cheaper than Lauren Young for anyone who wants to make that little sneaky move there.
And has the best run imaginable.
Mm.
Adelaide, Collingwood, Hawthorne, Richmond, GWS. Geez, it's the greenest set of like beautiful matchup forward. So Lingi Maloney was someone that I had talked about potentially trading in when we did our, you know, end of pod wrap up last week. I didn't end up trading her in and I regret it because she looked amazing.
Mm. Well, since you're not trading out Jordan Allen this week, I reckon you could trade in Maloney instead.
I don't know how I'm putting Aisling Maloney at M8, but sure, why not?
No, just you've got a free trade now that you don't need to worry about that midfield fix-up.
That's not how I was going to use my trades, but I appreciate the lateral thinking.
Yes, always. Well, laterally thinking over to the hot players then. We've got a few spicy names here. Izzy Bacon, aforementioned right at the very start. Defender with a last round of 94 with the whole Moncon out situation. Are you guys tempted by this?
I would be if I wasn't bringing in Serene Watson, which is far less spicy. And it's less than 100K to Serene Watson. So I think that that's probably an easier trade for me, but it's a fascinating one. We've talked a bit about that Richmond midfield where we know Moncon's not there. Ali McKenzie probably back this week. You'd assume Izzy Bacon stays in there. I don't know if a 94 is going to be on the cards, but again, St Kilda, they're an easy team to score against in the midfield. So maybe this could be a little short-term moneymaker.
I think it's a really interesting price point just because it's very reachable for anyone wanting to upgrade any of those rookie defenders. Like if you're jumping off a Patterson, it's 40K. If you're jumping off a Zoe Wackford, it's a little under 100K. I'm pretty interested by it. The other player that I'm considering, though, is basically the same price, is Lucy Cronin, who's 608K. So it's what, 30K more. But coming off a 60 and a 70 in the first and fourth rounds, I think is also pretty underpriced. And it's hard to compare those two because you've got one more established, I suppose, in what we've seen in the past. I feel like Izzy Bacon has sort of started a career a little bit slower, hasn't got the recognition that Cronin has, but... You know, it's hard to ignore a 94.
Yeah, I agree.
It's going to be fascinating to see who Ellie McKenzie replaces, because I think Bacon looked good from a meters gain perspective, but if you were to compare kind of sizes, shapes, play styles of the current, you know, this past round's Richmond midfield, Bacon is the one that most closely resembles McKenzie, who will return and will need to go straight full-time inside midfielder. So not to make it an even more risky pick, I definitely think there are still some questions.
That's why she's in the hot category. Seems fitting. Who else we got here? Kate Hoare. An interesting choice.
Yeah, it's an interesting one because Kate Hoare has been someone that we've very consistently just had as a very, very good player, but bit of a role change. Liv Purcell has very much sort of taken the points. Tyler Hanks as well. So taking a bit more of a backseat this year, Kate Hoare. But a 95 this week, sitting at 832K. Similar to that Britt Bonici one with a little bit more spice, just because she almost hasn't had to do all the work this year. So if you think Kate Hoare's still that 100 averaging player, could be there for a bargain, but it's a... It's a risky call, I think, at that price point in particular.
Yeah, absolutely. Another midfielder, though, because I just feel like these midfielders, they're all in this range where they're cheaper, but for a reason, and it's very stressful trying to pick between them. One that I've been watching closely is Tyana Smith from the Saints, who's just gone back-to-back 50s, which is so far under what we know they have done in the past, what we know they can do. But only one of them was a North-affected game, which, you know, we talked about last week, that average without North is what I'm looking for. The other one was just a really, really poor score. So this week with the Richmond matchup, I think we're hopefully going to be seeing an immediate bounce back. Is it worth jumping on early whilst the break-even is so high?
There's not a lot of points. There's not a lot of things pointing me in the confident direction with T. Smith. I mean, that is, I'd almost argue, extra spicy.
If we want to talk a bit of spice at St Kilda, Ash Richards has now had her role stabilised. She was the leading scorer for the Saints against North Melbourne. Had dreadful time on ground in only one quarter this past week. It was the fourth, which never fills you with confidence, but is a 50% midfielder at the moment. Had that stay even on the... inclusion of Karis Daddario as a rookie priced midfielder, or a rookie midfielder getting a 40% CBAs. I think that she is more than worthy of consideration. We know that this is a 70 averaging player, albeit in a better side. I think you can take a punt. It's spicy because St Kilda are dreadful and she's only had one semi-okay score. But to do it against North Melbourne, kicking one of the few goals for St Kilda, actually took some marks, which was the first time we've seen that all year. I think you can do it. I think I would, if you really are in an uncomfortable position with your forward trades, I really like the idea of taking a punt on Ash Richards.
Mm. It's got the Liam tick of approval. Would you do it?
It's a little too punty, a little bit too spicy for me, but she's still on my radar. I started the season with her. I'm glad I got off in round two, but she hasn't left my field of view because we know how good she can be.
She's left your field, but not your field of view.
Correct. That is beautifully put.
Very nice. Anyone else in the fields of view, or shall we go extra spicy?
Well, yeah, I've got one more along a very similar vein. Players we've been sort of just following all season. Lucia Painter. An 85, it keeps popping up. And I know we were saying that the midfield mix was the problem at West Coast. They were not getting the ball out of the centre early. And her time in the midfield has dropped. I think she only had the 50% CBAs. But West Coast did win the centre clearances against the very powerful midfield of the Melbourne Demons. I don't know. I'm pretty confident Painter got none of those clearances. But I don't think they're going to change the mix. I think they want Painter to become a midfielder. It just keeps tempting me. So it's a very spicy one. I think she's got the potential to be a consistent 80 mid. I'm just not sure if it's right now. I'm happy to wait another week.
How many weeks does someone have to be a potential option brought up by one person to the point where you say, well, you either have to bring them in, you have to, you know, just commit to the bid, or she goes in the not even worth discussing pile? Because I think she's worth discussing, just so we're clear.
Well, I don't know the answer to that, but I'm confident it's at least one more. All right, we'll be bringing her up next week for sure. Yeah.
Solid half season. Sounds good. Yeah, I like it. Okay, extra spicy time. I have not put anyone here because I'm not bold enough, but on account of me not being very present the last few weeks. But who have we got, guys? Jono, take it away.
I think the first option that I want to discuss is for the Mimstrom and Ali Morfitt owners out there, because we have been talking up Darcy Davies a lot over the past couple of weeks.
Oh, gosh.
And if there was ever a time to jump on, it's right now. She's had a couple 90s this year. She's still only 694K. Her next three are Collingwood, Essendon, and St Kilda. Now, those are green ruck matchups if I've ever seen ones. So it's definitely a high-risk play, but you could make 200K and close that gap if you can't afford a Lucy Wales or you can't afford a Matilda Schultz this week.
That is some very sound logic, and I'm on board with what you've just said, but the benefit of being away for a few weeks is you get to hear stuff like this and you go, whoa, I did not see that coming when I was last paying attention. Round one, we were not considering Darcy Davis at all as a ruck. It was all Georgia. No. Georgia all the way, and now Georgia who? Wow. Okay, so, I mean, that is a good option. I like what's the ownership right now? I reckon it's going to be...
John, of course...
0.87%. I like that. Let's see how much that goes up to by the end of the week.
Of course, Mel, the trade you are most fascinated by is a ridiculous trade in the ruts.
I'm like, yes, this is my area.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, I'm intrigued.
Hey, Mel can handle a spice.
I almost
right?
wish I had Strom now so I can do it. I can justify it.
Mel's going to trade out to Matilda Schultz this week just for the fun of it.
Don't do that. Please don't do that.
I won't.
If we want to go spicy... We were talking, obviously, a lot about Bacon. We're talking about what to do with Millsy this year. The forward that I want to put up there as a potential trade target is McKenzie forward, 440K. Okay, had a 52 and a 50 in the last 2 weeks, but he's sitting at around about a 50 to 60% midfielder. Was part of that second half rejuvenation against Essendon. And Richmond have possibly the best run for midfielders in the next 3 weeks. Is she a better option in my mind than Ash Richards? No. Is she better option than another player that we haven't even mentioned today, but I think is worthwhile in Eden Zanka, who is cheaper? Probably not. But if we want to talk about players who aren't going to get some midfield time, I think McKenzie Ford is up there.
Okay, less exciting. Not going to lie, but...
Okay.
Of course you think that. I also sold it with far less vigour than Darcy Davis, so that's also very fair.
Yeah, but okay, yeah, cool. And then Ange Stanner, is this your pitch, Willow?
This is my pick, and I've gone for it because I know that Mel loves a ruck pick, and with Mimstrom gone, Ange Stanner in the ruck, 100% guaranteed. but
most versatile Stanner, player in the game.
488, scored an 82 this week against Richmond and comes up against Essendon this week. No CBAs, which was interesting, but 8 tackles, started to get their hands on the ball a bit more. Previously was one of the best scoring forwards a couple of seasons ago, albeit with midfield time. But I like the look of it, and it is so tempting to me. It is screaming out to me in the same way that Sarah Verrier does every year.
Can I just say, you can scream a little bit louder because it wasn't no CBAs. If you're looking at Jaden CBAs charts, that's Ash McCarthy who had none, because Ange Stanard had 83%.
Ah, even better. That's only 1% less. That's only 1% more than her points score. That's amazing. And now we have points per CBA percentage as a stat. So incredible.
PPCBA.
Oh, fills me with joy. Ange Stanard, absolute lock. I think, and now he's going to get hit outs as well. So I don't think you can possibly see that as a bad one. Also, shout out to Brennan Tarrant, who took 2 ruck contests and now needs to get a hit out. I just want to throw that one out there.
I like it. Rogue ruck facts. Very nice. These are great. We should do this segment more often. That's very fun. Anything else to add before we head over to Captain's Corner? Take it away, Liam, then.
All right. Well, we saw last week that Ebony Marinoff and Ash Riddell were probably the two most popular choices, and you can't really have gone wrong with a 129 and a 130. I'm still backing in Ebony Marinoff week to week. What Shock is horror. Very unfortunate is that as much as I was talking about bow and arrows and potentially picking Michaela Bowen, that is who Adelaide are playing this week. So it's going to be very difficult to pick a Geelong midfielder as your VC. However, North Melbourne up against a relatively easy matchup in Carlton for midfielders. I still think that they will sit there as your vice captains for the week. But don't, I think it's Michaela Bowen, Georgie Prespakis, and Nina Morrison are potential VC shouts in round 6 when they go up against Collingwood.
Cool. And who have you got to see on so far?
Ebony Marinoff. It's been hardly changing at the minute.
Yeah. Have you guys been doing some loophole stuff?
Not yet.
Yeah, I did 1 week. But the challenge is that my red dot is a Collingwood player who play on the Saturday. So I think that's going to be pretty challenging. But handy for anyone who still holds Jacinta Hose this week with Melbourne playing on the Sunday.
Mm. Very nice. What about you, Liam?
Nothing. Have I?
that wasn't the question. No, but
have you done any VC loophole?
It answers the question.
Wow, you really zoned out there. Yeah.
But Liam, who's your captain though?
Loophole. Loophole.
Oh, that's so good. Well, you'll keep that secret of your loophole then, and just keep telling us your captain. That's all.
I did have a loophole for 2 weeks because I had Lucy Cronin, who is now back and a trade target. So, alas, I have no red dots at the minute. Trying to squeeze out every last possible bit of cash gem before we lose any meaningful rookie debuts before I switch to bringing in a loophole.
I like it. Okay, quick whip of our trade plans this week. Willow, other than Ange Stanard, who else are you bringing in?
At this stage, I genuinely am bringing in Ange Stanard because I can. I've been doing a lot of funky different trades. My main one is getting Zoe Wacker off field. I've been talking big game about getting Serene Watson this week. The matchup against Richmond actually kind of worries me because traditionally halfbacks haven't actually done that well against Richmond because Richmond aren't that good. St Kilda's an interesting one because they're also not very good, as Liam will happily tell you. Yes, that's a shocked Pikachu face from Liam. So I'm actually very tempted by Lucille Cronin. Very interesting role, as we've said, that midfield wing role, and is 60K cheaper. So I'm wondering if that might actually be the play to save a little bit of extra money. And I've been trying to figure out what to do with my midfield upgrade. And so far, my midfield upgrade, I actually can't find anyone better from the amount that I can make than just getting Tia Charlton back and then swapping her into my forward line next week and doing some downgrades there. I can't actually figure out a better thing to do.
Yeah, no, it hurts to swallow the pride, but I'm thinking of doing exactly the same thing, having traded Charlton out. It's time to get her back in, 200K more expensive. I think the plan is to grab her and also Cronin for me as well. And I'll be doing that with an upgrade from the money from Ella Slocum.
Willow, why are you saying oi?
Because that's an exact...
my oi.
It's an exact copy of my trades this week. You did it last week. You're ahead of the curve.
Get your own.
You're ahead of the curve.
Hey, we are all supporting each other in a positive and helpful environment here. All our successes are each other's successes. What is this?
That's what that just looks like.
I rescind my comments. Please enjoy those excellent picks.
Especially the Ange Sennett one.
Good, good, good.
Definitely. That's exactly who I was talking about.
Specifically.
So, yeah.
Yeah. The only thing that stresses me there is it means I'm leaving the two port mids in my midfield. The last trade from Lauren Young to Tia Charlton might change if I decide to regret that midway through the week.
The two port mids? Who else?
I have Dowrick and Woodland. So the two of them are underperforming greatly at the moment. I'll be maybe moving one of them across to a Ty Smith type. We'll see. Which I don't love. It doesn't feel right. So I don't think I'm going
to
be able to do it.
I agree with you there, Jono, because I've gone like, I can get T Smith in, and I'm like, or I could just get T Charlton.
It seems so much better.
Just, you know? As you say, suck that up and then move that into my forward line next week. Because at the moment I've got both Bowen and Charlton in my midfield.
That's a lot of forwards in the midfield.
It is. But I think it's possibly my best route to getting an actually good midfielder next week by fixing up my forward line in a roundabout way. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens.
Nice. What am I planning on doing? Cashing out of probably Usher and putting some money somewhere. Ideally, Wakva off. Kind of want to get Seymour off too. Oh, no.
What?
Not my unique.
No.
She's been doing so good for me, but...
I mean, this week against St Kilda.
Yeah. Oh, okay, we'll see. So, yeah, I've clearly got a rubber arm and I don't know what I'm doing yet. Liam, what about you?
I am currently going
Noffy.
Usher, Lappin, and probably Woodland out, not Noffy, and looking at bringing in Renee Morgan, Charlie Rowbottom for the time being as my upgrade in the midfield, but I'm still not very confident where I'm going there. And then as a bit of a forward option to make sure that I don't have to look at Ella Slocum on field anymore, looking at bringing in Eden Zanka at 438K.
It's a fascinating option. I'm not as across the Fremantle backup ruck options, because I know that Smith and Zanka did the job last week, but if they're planning for it and not doing it as an emergency, I'm not across their depth.
It's Indy Strong probably getting time in the ruck, but I feel like
Tanisha Kikawak.
Yeah. It's a good point. I'm sure they would love Tanya Hetherington, Ariana Hetherington from two seasons ago. But I think that Zanka probably...
Key defender, Ariana Hetherington.
Good key defender, Ariana Hetherington. I think it's a case of Zanka probably taking more stoppages in the ruck inside forward 50. And it definitely looked like she was struggling first couple of weeks coming back from an interrupted preseason. We are now a month in. She's a lot cheaper than before. Looked pretty good up against Richmond. And has an hapless Essendon that just allowed, you know, Shear to kick a couple of goals, Ashley Maloney to kick 4.25 and score 90. I think that the signs are there to maybe bring her in. It's not one that I'm hugely confident in, but She averaged 65 last season, and she's currently priced at about 45. So that's where my brand is at the moment.
I like it.
Cheap Freo forwards. Sounds like the order of the week.
I think so. Well, we might wrap it up there. Thank you for joining us for our round review. You can hear from us later in the week with our on-air episode once teams are released. There'll be an article out by one of Liam and Jono over there on the AFL website. Or both.
Or both.
Who knows? If not, we'll chat to you next week.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
See ya.